إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونسترشده ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة الكرام، يقول ربنا جل وعلا في كتابه المبين: إن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون. Indeed, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, sustainer, and regulator of the universe and all within. Thus we praise him, and we ought to praise him and thank him for the infinite grace, blessings, and mercy he has bestowed upon us. We believe in him and we put our trust in him. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil inclinations of ourselves and from the evil of our actions. Know that whoever chooses guidance, there is none to misguide him or her. And whoever chooses misguidance, there is none to guide him or her. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. He is one and has no partner. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the servant and messenger of Allah, whom Allah sent with the religion of truth and with guidance, so that this truth and this guidance will become established in the land over all other religions, although the idolaters detest that. My dear brothers and sisters, every human being in this life expounds an excessive amount of energy and time and resources in the pursuit of happiness. In the process, people become frustrated and stressed out over many things, especially when things don't go their way. When things go our way, we're happy, we're glad. But when things don't, then we become stressed out, we become anxious, we're worried. But one of the grave mistakes we make sometimes in the pursuit of happiness is that we look for it in the wrong place or the wrong places. We search for happiness and we pursue happiness going down the wrong path. And as a result, in as much as we may experience some physical pleasures, at the end of it all, the person still does not experience inner peace and happiness. Because, brothers and sisters, physical pleasures do not cure, or they're not the solution to inner peace and happiness. They just cause us to forget that we're stressed out. They just cause us to forget that we have all these worries. And this is why, once the pleasure is over, we're back to reality. So we must ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, what does happiness mean for us? And what will make us happy? I am sure if we were to sit down with a pen and a sheet of paper, we may come up with a detailed and a long list of the things we would like to achieve in this world that will make us happy. So for our youth who are in high school, who are in university, it may be being successful in their exams, getting that degree, getting that job that will pay well. For others, it might be studying in one of the prestigious universities, University of Toronto. and other universities. Often for people who are married, we find that sisters want their husbands to buy them flowers. So when they don't get the flowers or the chocolate, they go through some stress. They are not happy. They're angry. They're upset with the husband. And likewise, the husbands, if they don't get hot food or the kind of foods that they like, they're also stressed out. They're upset. They're angry with their wives. So we need to, brothers and sisters, sit down and think about what will bring us happiness. What will make us happy? Because often, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with things that ought to make us really happy, but we cannot see that. The month of Muharram has started. So the Islamic New Year has begun, 1438 of the Hijrah. And the Hijrah, of course, was an event, a momentous event in the life of the Sahaba and the early Muslims. And it truly brought a lot of happiness for the Muslim community. Despite the fact that they had to leave their homes in Mecca, and for many of them, most or all of their property and wealth. Despite that, they were extremely happy. Why? Because they understood, brothers and sisters, that the true happiness was in obedience to Allah the Creator. So it didn't bother them much that they had to give up their birthplace in Mecca, their homes, even their wealth, and migrate to Medina with nothing or very little. It did not bother them. Why? Because they were doing so in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what made them happy. As a result, of course, of the Hijrah and the subsequent years that followed, Islam would become established in the land and the Muslim community would develop and grow. And it would be nurtured by none other than, of course, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But in this month of Muharram, there is a particular day that we're all familiar with, the day of Ashura. And we are all familiar with the fact that it is a sunnah to fast on this day, which, by the way, will be on Tuesday next week. But do we really understand why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ordered the Muslims before fasting in Ramadan was instituted, why he ordered them to fast on the day of Ashura? And then once Ramadan was made, fasting in Ramadan was made compulsory, he encouraged them and did not make it compulsory? Well, Al-Imam al-Bukhari tells us in his Sahih about the Hadith, when he found the Prophet alayhi salam after the Hijrah, in Muharram of the second year of the Hijrah, because in Muharram of the first year when the Hijrah happened, the Prophet alayhi salam was in Mecca. He migrated in Rabi'an al-Awwal and he came to Medina. So for the following Muharram was the first Muharram for the Prophet in Medina. He found the Jews in Medina fasting on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. And he asked them, why are you guys fasting on this day? And they told him, this is a great day, because it was on this day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel from Fir'aun. In the Prophet alayhi salam, and they told the Prophet, Musa alayhi salam after used to fast on the day of Ashura out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet alayhi salam said to them, نَحْنُ أَوْلَى بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. We have a greater connection with Musa than you people. Because the Muslims, including the Prophet alayhi salam, we have never lived or met Musa alayhi salam. We haven't lived in his time. But we speak about him with love and with reverence. He is an integral part of our belief, one of the mighty messengers of Allah. Unlike Bani Israel, who have a track record of disobedience and rebellion. So he ordered the Sahaba, the Muslims that year in Medina, to fast on the day of Ashura. He told them, if you have not eaten yet for the day, do not eat, fast the day. And if you have eaten, well, don't eat anymore, just fast the rest of the day. But I want you to focus on Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel. When you consider what will make you happy in this world, think about the story. We know that Bani Israel, they were enslaved by Fir'aun in Egypt. And we know that Fir'aun was a man who wielded tremendous power and authority in the land. People today think they're powerful, but they need to look at what happened in the past. As Allah tells us in the Quran, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرْنٍ هُمْ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ بَطْشًا فَنَقُبُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ هَلْ مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. Allah says, many were the people or the nations we destroyed before, who were mightier than these people today. Yet when the punishment of Allah came, they were running about in the land, asking and pleading, is there any escape? This man, Fir'aun, with all the might and power that he had, enslaved Bani Israel. And obviously, for the Bani Israel, the one thing that would have made them the happiest people would have been what? Deliverance from slavery. Deliverance from the clutches of Fir'aun. Their freedom would have been the one thing that would have made them the happiest people. And they must have been praying for delivery, mind you. Just like all of us brothers and sisters. When we're faced with hardships and difficulties, mashallah, we raise our hands in dua. Some of us even make the sacrifice to do extra prayers, tahajjud prayers and so on, nawafil fasts. And we plead with Allah the Exalted for help and assistance and relief. And we believe this will make us happy. So Bani Israel, at the time that they were enslaved by Fir'aun, must have been praying for delivery. Must have been asking Allah the Exalted to send someone to take them out of the slavery and give them back their freedom. We also have the tendency, brothers and sisters, when we're in hard times, to make all kinds of vows. We will do this and we will do that. And how can we not? Oh Lord, if you give us ease. But remember, when the ease comes, are we able to deal with that? And how we deal with that is what is crucial. So eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered their prayers and decided to liberate them. So this baby was born at the time when Fir'aun ordered that all the boy babies be killed so that his kingdom can be preserved. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved and protected this little infant in the miraculous way that you all know about. And this boy grew up in the house of Fir'aun. In the house of Fir'aun. And then eventually he would leave. He had to flee Egypt. And then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him back to Egypt. ثُمَّ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدَرٍ يَا مُوسَىٰ. Allah tells him, O Musa, then you came back بِقَدَر, because of this plan that Allah had for him. Then Allah commissioned him as a prophet and messenger to Fir'aun, on behalf of his people. And the first thing he did when he got back into Egypt, after demonstrating to Fir'aun that he was indeed a messenger of Allah and he had certain miracles to prove his point, He told Fir'aun, liberate Bani Israel and arsil ma'ya Bani Israel. Send with me Bani Israel. Let them go, man. And Fir'aun, of course, refused. Who would want to give up your, you know, workforce, the slaves? But eventually, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Musa and Bani Israel suddenly one night to just get up and leave in the night time. So all of them, the young, the old, the men, the women, the children, everybody in the night time just left. Without any pre-planning, because you can't plan, you're slaves, right? The Egyptians and the guards, they're always there watching. You can't really prepare much. They left in the night. And by the time morning came, they found themselves on the shore of the sea. This huge expanse of water in front of them. And then when they looked behind, they saw this huge dust cloud behind them. And they realized that Fir'aun was coming with his army. Allah says in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَتِ الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. And when the two parties saw each other, when one became visible to the other, the companions of Musa alayhi salam said to him, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. In this short statement, they used two forms of emphasis. To say to Musa, look, you know what, there is no escape here today because we have the sea in front of us and this enemy behind us, Fir'aun with his army. And now we've done something to really anger him. But Musa alayhi salam, because he was the messenger of Allah, had confidence and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told the people, قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. He said, never, this is never going to happen. We're not going to be caught. Why? Because surely my Lord is with me. He will give me guidance. Because He is the one who first of all commissioned me as a messenger back to you. And He is the one who ordered me to leave with you guys in the night time. Allah says, فَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنْ يَضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحَرِ. And so we inspired Musa alayhi salam to strike the sea with your stick. فَانْفَلَقَ. So it parted. The sea parted. This wasn't no trick of the eye, brothers and sisters, as people claim. Or it wasn't some sort of hurricane force wind that blew the water to one side and allowed them to pass. I read an article a few years ago in the Star where some scientists believe that's how it happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَانْفَلَقَ. The water parted. فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالتَّوْضِ الْعَظِيمِ. And each side of the water was like a towering mountain. So we know it wasn't any shallow body of water either. The water parted. And Bani Israel with Musa alayhi salam walked safely through this water. On both sides, the water is towering above them. ثُمَّ أَزْلَفْنَا الْآثَمَّ الْآخَرِينَ. Allah says, and then we brought the others closer. So Fir'aun and his army came close enough to see Bani Israel with Musa alayhi salam crossing. And they figured, hey, if these guys can cross, why not us? ثُمَّ أَنْجَيْنَا مُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ أَجْمَعِينَ. And indeed we saved Musa and those with him completely, all of them. ثُمَّ أَغْرَقْنَا الْآخَرِينَ. And then we drowned the others, Fir'aun and his army. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ. Surely in that there are signs, or there is a sign. وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. But most of them will not believe. The signs are there, but most of them will not believe. So Bani Israel, brothers and sisters, they crossed the sea in the most miraculous fashion. After they believed and they were convinced that there was no escape, there's no way they could all swim across the sea, and Fir'aun with his huge army was behind them. But even after this miracle of miracles. Very soon after, they forgot the blessing of Allah upon them. They wanted happiness. What would make them happy? To be liberated from Fir'aun. Now that Allah the Exalted liberates them in the most miraculous fashion, so that no one would have any doubts, they did not recognize the source of the happiness. Soon after they crossed, they came across a people worshipping a statue, the statue of a cow. They said to Musa alayhi salam, "Why don't you make for us a god, false god, a statue like these people have one?" We're talking about just a short while after Allah saved them by parting the water. Then when they arrived on the other side, they're in the desert. They're in the desert and they have very little water, or no water, no food. They had no shade. Remember, it's all of them, men, women, children, the young, the old. If it was just a group of young, strong men, no problem. Maybe they could tough it out. But you had everybody. And in the desert, no shade. No trees to provide shade. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them shade. وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ And we covered you with the clouds for shade. They wanted food. They did not have to plow the land, brothers and sisters. They did not have to plant the seeds, water the seeds, and wait 3 months or 2 months for the fruits to grow and bear. وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى And we sent down for you as food, الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى Manna and quails. كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ Eat and enjoy from the good things we have sent down for you as sustenance. All they had to do, brothers and sisters, was at meal times, just take the food. The food would come down at meal times. They just pick it up and eat. No effort needed to be exerted. What will make a person happy, brothers and sisters? Would you like to stay home on your food every meal time? MashaAllah, it's there. What will make us happy, brothers and sisters? Yet despite all of these miracles, some of the people with Musa alayhi salam rebelled and they disobeyed. When Musa alayhi salam left them and went to meet Allah based on the appointment, in his absence, they made an image, they made a statue to worship. In fact, as Allah mentions in the Quran, between the time Musa alayhi salam left the people and the time he arrived on the mountain, between that time, they built this statue. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who told Musa alayhi salam, "Look, your people, they have built themselves a statue. And they're worshipping that now." When he left, they didn't. They hadn't built it yet. So what will make us happy, brothers and sisters? And as a result, Musa alayhi salam, see, this is what made him happy. He fasted on this day that Allah saved him and Bani Israel out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, he recognized, brothers and sisters, that true happiness can only come through pursuit of worshipping the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And an important aspect of worship of Allah is to be thankful and grateful to Him. But Musa alayhi salam did not just do that in words. "Oh, thank you, O Lord." And then he forgot about it. No. It became a prominent feature in his life. And for this reason, the Prophet alayhi salam told the Sahaba and the Muslims, "We will fast on the day of Ashura." First of all, a great prophet and messenger of Allah started this tradition, the sunnah. And secondly, it is for the right objective. It is for the correct goal. Showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through deeds, not just words. Because it's easy to say the words. It's much harder to do the deeds. And to bring our own lives, our own actions, our own desires and our own likes and dislikes into compliance with what Allah has ordered or prohibited. Because that's where true gratitude is, brothers and sisters. It is important to use words and say Alhamdulillah and glorify and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say Takbir and say MashaAllah and so on. It is important to do that. But more important than that is how we carry ourselves after that, afterwards. How we behave afterwards. We don't need to make vows with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Lord, if you make me pass, I'll do this. We don't need that, brothers and sisters. In fact, in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the vows, إِنَّمَا يُسْتَخْرَجُ بِهِ مِنَ الْبَخِيلِ. It is used to get things out of a miserly person. The vow. We don't need the vow. But we need to understand that our happiness in this world, and perhaps, not perhaps, but more importantly in the next world, lies with connecting with our Creator, worshipping the Creator, remembering the Creator, and thanking the Creator in words and in deeds. That's where happiness lies. And we also have to realize that happiness is not just about this life. And this is a crucial mistake many of us make. We simply pursue physical happiness only, and we forget the hereafter. That while we pursue happiness in this world, and that's not prohibited, at the same time, we should not forget the hereafter. And that's why when we pursue happiness, brothers and sisters, through worship of Allah, what we're doing is, we are pursuing happiness in this world, as well as happiness in the hereafter. That's what we're doing. We're achieving and preparing for happiness in both. So we need to ask ourselves, what will really make us happy? For me to have this and to have that, okay, when I get them, what will happen? What comes next? Are we ready to deal with these forms of happiness that we desire so much? Are we ready to deal with them when and if and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them to us? Are we also able to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may grant us happiness in ways that you and I may not even realize? We pray for happiness in certain things, but the happiness comes in other things that we can't see, we can't realize, because we're so focused and taken up on these other things. So we have to have an open mind. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ibrahim, remember when your Lord decreed or announced, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're grateful, if you're thankful in words and deeds, I will surely increase the bounties upon you. وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ. But if you're ungrateful, if you don't recognize the blessings and the bounties, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Remember, surely my punishment is severe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us. May He open our hearts and minds so that we can understand this wonderful message He has revealed for the happiness and the upliftment and the betterment of people in this world as well as in the next world. And may Allah the Exalted inspire us all to live by this message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us, men and women, young and old, parents and children. May He bless us with happiness in this world as well as in the next world. And may He open our hearts and our minds and our eyes so we can truly see and receive the various forms of happiness that He blesses us with. And may He cause us to be thankful and grateful for that. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. اللهم الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. Let us also send peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah, for Allah has commanded us to do so in the Quran when He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ وَأَنْعِمْ عَلَى عَبْدِكَ وَرَسُولِكَ مُحَمَّدٍ وعلى آله وأصحابه وتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم بمنك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والكفرة والملحدين وانصر عبادك الموحدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين والمظلومين والمجاهدين في كل مكان. اللهم أفرغ عليهم صبرا وثبت أقدامهم وانصرهم على القوم الكافرين وانصرهم على القوم الفاسقين وانصرهم على القوم المجرمين. اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا واجعلهم هداة مهتدين لا ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم أصلح شباب المسلمين. Oh Allah, we ask you to bless and guide our children and our youth. اللهم حبب إليهم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبهم. We ask you, O Lord, to make faith in you beloved to them and to beautify it in their hearts. وَكَرِّهْ إِلَيْهِمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ. And let disbelief and disobedience become hateful to them. وَجْعَلْهُمْ مِنَ الرَّاشِدِينَ. And cause them to be among those who are rightly guided. اللهم احفظهم من وسوسة الشيطان وكيده. We ask you, O Lord, to protect them from the whisperings and from the plots of shaitan. اللهم ثبت قلوبهم على دينك الحق. We ask you, O Lord, to keep their hearts firm on your true religion. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات وقوموا إلى صلاتكم.